Dearly beloved, today, June 29th, is thought to be the day on which both St. Peter and St. Paul died. It is their heavenly birthday. Under Emperor Nero, St. Peter was crucified upside down, and St. Paul was beheaded, both supposedly on June 29th in 67 AD, both in Rome. And early Christians thought that both Peter and Paul were buried in Rome as well. Both Peter and Paul gave the good confession and were steadfast at the end of their lives. But it was not always so. And therefore, today's gospel reading requires some explanation. The church is not built on Peter or Paul, but on Christ. So when the Lord says, "Thou art Peter, Petros, and on this rock, Petra, I will build my church," he doesn't mean that Peter is the foundation of the church. Peter was not much of a rock right after this. Just a few verses later, Jesus predicts his cross, and Peter says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." That's no foundation for the Christian church. And so the Lord says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter is not the rock, nor is Paul the rock. He wrote to the Corinthians, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ," 1 Corinthians 3. So if Peter is not the rock, but Jesus Christ is the foundation, then "upon this rock I will build my church" will have to refer to what Peter said just before. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The rock is Peter's confession. The church is built on Christ. But on the other hand, when Peter stays close to the cornerstone, then the church is built on him too. "Thou art Peter, and on this rock of your confession, on this rock of your preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God," the Lord says, "I will build my church." When Peter stays close to the cornerstone and to his duty to preach Christ, then the church is built up. That is to say, when Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who placated God's wrath by his death, is being preached, which, by the way, is what Peter's duty and ministry is to do, well, then faith is being created in the hearers, and that is how the church is being built. So the church is not built on Peter, but it is built on the gospel that Christ commanded Peter to preach and confess. So St. Paul again reminds us, "You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone," Ephesians 2. In that sense, then, Peter, with the other apostles and prophets, is the rock on which the church is built. When he erred, he was not the rock. But Peter is the rock when he remains firm in the confession of Christ, the Son of the living God. Likewise, ministers, preachers, are rocks and foundations of the church, not absolutely, but only by staying close to Christ as Peter confessed him and as they preach this Christ. So in a certain respect, the church is built on Peter, the apostles, the prophets, and even all true pastors today, according as they confess and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here is how it is built. It's built by the keys. The Lord said, "I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou bindest on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou loosest on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now I'm using the archaic second person singular there to make the grammar clear. The Lord was speaking to Peter specifically, promising to him what would later be done. I will give thee the keys. Then at the end of the gospel, each of those gospels, the Lord then actually sends all his apostles to do certain things: baptize, preach, teach, forgive, and retain sins, and also to distribute the supper. That's when the keys were actually then given to the apostles to exercise. Now, the important thing here is that there really are keys, that is, a power given to men to open and shut access to heaven. And what does that mean, though? Well, this points to a personal office of preaching, if nothing else. The Lord did not just give us a message, a Bible, a creed. He also set up a duty that certain men would preach in every era. In this way, every generation of pastors exercises the keys by means of a personal office of preaching, assessing the particular dangers and the false teachings of every generation, and applying the healing word to address those ills. The keys are something exercised here on earth, and that points at least to a personal office of preaching, not just to a message written in a book. And it also points to the power to admit people to the gospel and the sacraments and to exclude people from them. That is to say, absolution and church discipline. And while that is a specific duty of pastors, it is also something that pertains and belongs to the whole church. And so lay people do exercise it together with pastors, each according to his vocation. And for that, you can take a look at Matthew chapter 18. But in summary, by exercising the keys, the church is built. Brothers and sisters, Peter and Paul have died, but now they live with Christ. Maybe they are buried in Rome, and maybe not. But today our joy is this: the Lord has not left us alone with books and text. Rather, the Lord really is active through the keys. Whatever thou bindest on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou loosest on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This means that the word of the gospel and the sacraments here on earth can be trusted. You don't have to wonder whether this is for real, whether God will actually acknowledge this, whether this really applies to you specifically. It does. Peter's mouth is Christ's mouth. Christ has left the keys of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, and they're being exercised here and now. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.